Got a couple of things that I want to share with you first before we step into the sermon. And yes, I'm aware of what time it is, and I know there's food downstairs. I'm hungry too, okay? So we're going to move along rather quickly. If you were not here on Tuesday night for Trunk or Treat, you missed an incredible treat. We know that we had, well, the youth had made up 1,420 bags of candy to hand out. 1,420. We have two left. Okay? We have two left. Chris and Guy dished out by half cups, I believe, as I was paying attention, 20 gallons of hot chocolate. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. If you want to see some pictures, you can go to the church web or the church Facebook page, my Facebook page, Bonnie's Facebook page, or a Facebook page called Church Street Trunk or Treat. And you can see pictures of this whole street out here full. And during part of that time, the line that was formed just by people volunteering to form a line, we did not ask them to form a line, was all the way down Spring Street to the courthouse. That's how many folks were here on Tuesday night as we reached out to the kids for Trunk or Treat. How absolutely incredible. Thank each and every one of you that helped in any way, because I know the kids and parents and grandparents and friends, I'm estimating there was probably close to 4,000 people on the street out here. They greatly appreciate the time that you spent and what you did to help out. Absolutely incredible. I also would like to say I am so thankful to work with the staff that I work with. They're a joy, each and every one of them, to work with. They have to put up with me. And I don't know how some of them do that, but it is such a joy to work with them in ministry here at the church. So thank y'all, and Janet, there's Janet right there, and I'll spend some time talking to Mary and the other Janet when I get a chance. But thank y'all for what you do here at the church. Also want to let you know, please don't forget about our benevolence offering that we take up after the service today. One of the ushers will either be here at this door or that door. Please also come down to lunch with us. I know there's plenty of food down there. Please stay, even if you're not hadn't planned on staying. There's plenty of food downstairs. You can fill your pockets as you leave and have something for supper too. Okay? I know there's plenty. There's one last thing I want to mention before we get into the sermon. Daniel has helped me this week. I had some problems doing this, and Daniel has gotten it straight for us. We now have the start of a church app. For anybody who has a phone, we have a start of a church app. You need to go to My Church App and download that, and the first time you open it, it's going to ask you to search for the church. Just put in Withfield, and it'll pop up right there at the top. There we have a place that you can submit prayer requests. There is a place for you to look at the beacon. There is a place for you to listen to the previous sermons. The calendar for the church is there. There's directions. There is a Bible. You can take notes. You can highlight in the Bible. We found out how to delete highlights. We were playing with it in Sunday school, and we highlighted some things, and we couldn't figure out how to unhighlight them. But Jonathan got us straight on that. Jonathan knows how to unhighlight them. If you need some help getting it on your phone, let me know. Let one of the young adults know. I know that they will be glad to help you. Not everything is active on the app yet. But I will tell you this. If you're just a little bit lazier than some other people and you want to look at the Bible, by the way, there's 40 different translations of the Bible here. You can choose whichever translation you want, okay? And then you can hit this nice little button down here at the bottom. If I turn my silent thing off, because I don't want my phone to ring during the service. There we go. Okay, it's not working. It'll read the Bible to you. I don't know what I have hit wrong.
The Book of Psalms, Book 1, Psalms 1 through 41. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take.
So if you would just like to listen to it, okay? This is already all part of the app. Please go in and start using it. Download it, put it on your phone, start using it. There are some other options that we have not activated, and we're trying to decide, are we going to activate them? So please go in and look at it and tell us what you think, okay? Like I said, if you need some help with that, I'll be glad to help you with that, and I know the young adults, too, would be glad to help you get that on your phone if you'd like to look at it. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 is all about moving into the promised land. So let's just jump right in and read it. And then I'm going to give you some things that I think we really need to see about this scripture. And the Lord said to Joshua, starting in verse 7, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan. Its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. If you don't know the numbers here, I just want to give you the numbers so that you got a better idea. There were over 500,000 men at this point in time. Not counting women and children, there were over 500,000 men that are going to cross over here at the River Jordan. The priest stood there for quite a while. But I can't imagine what that sight was like. You see, they were getting ready to move into the promised land. The promised land was right there before them, but between them and the promised land was a river that was flooded. I don't know how many times you've been to a river that's been close to flood stage or at flood stage. How many of you would consider at flood stage walking across a river? Come on, I got to have at least one volunteer, right? That is an awful, powerful force of water. Powerful and incredible. This is a picture of the Jordan River, by the way. In some places it is awful narrow like this. But even with the speed of this water, I'm not sure that I would want to walk across here. All it takes is one wrong step and down the river you go. But this was between the people and the promised land. So the first thing I want to tell to you, and the first thing I want you to understand, is that Christians should have a vision of the incredible promised land God has for us on this earth. So many times we think about heaven, don't we? Oh, I can't wait to get there. Oh, I can't wait to be there and see the golden streets. And oh, I can't wait to be there to see the trees that have all kinds of fruit every month of the year. I can't wait to see that. I hope it's fruit I like, by the way. Because there's some fruit I'm not so sure that it's supposed to be fruit. And I'm not sure why they sell it in the grocery store. But I can't wait to see that. Can you? How incredible is that? And so many people talk about that day to come, that day when we will be there, that day when we... Folks, the promised land is here in our presence. All we've got to do is walk across the River Jordan. You see, the promised land is not just for some future time. The promised land is already here. Can this church walk into a promised land? Most definitely. Does God have one design for us? Most definitely. Is it an incredible, positive, uplifting, powerful time? Most definitely. It's already here. It's already here. But entering this promised land is going to require three things. It's going to require our trust in God. It's going to require God's involvement. And it's going to require our action. All three things. First off, we've got to trust God that there is a promised land across the flood stages of the river. There is a promised land there. There is a promised land for us to live in now in this world, not the other one to come. But now, we've got to trust God in that. It's going to require God's involvement. And in this story, God's involvement was stopping the water so that they could get across. That was the involvement of God at this point. God told Joshua, I want the people to be able to see that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priest to pick up the Ark of the Covenant and start to walk into the water and watch what happens. God's involvement. And it says the people walked across on dry ground, not mud. Dry ground. That's even more incredible to me. Dry ground. And it requires our action. You see, the priest had to get their feet wet first, didn't they? They had to step out. And then the other people had to step out. I think if I had been there, I'd be thankful that the waters are stopped way up river somewhere, not right next to me. Because if they're stopped right next to me, how much more does that take for me to go, well, I'm going to walk out here. Think about that. It says the waters are stopped way upriver. One, to give a wide space for the people, the nation, to get across. But also, so there wasn't that temptation to say, if I step out there, that water might just wipe me out. I'm not sure I can do it. It requires all three things, folks. I want to talk about all three of these things real quick and then ask you a question. The first thing is, and I truly believe this, God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. Amen? God must be able to do the impossible because God broke my heart and fixed it. God broke my hardened heart that was against coming to church at all and fixed it. Folks, so where I was in my life, that would have been impossible. A matter of fact, one of my high school friends came to visit me one day. And the first thing he had, well, as a kid, I had a lot of hair up here. Okay, down to my shoulders. Nice, wonderful, curly, blonde hair that every woman in the world wanted. They didn't want me, they just wanted the hair. How do you get your hair so curly? It just does it. I wish it had been straight so I could have a nice long ponytail, but it never worked out that way. I've been friends with Willie Nelson then. How fun would that have been? He came to me, and at the time I had a full beard and almost no hair up here. And he said, the first question I have for you is, how come you moved your hair around your face? And then the second question he had for me, because he knew who I was in high school. What happened that you became a minister? Can God do the impossible? Amen. God can do the impossible. One of the gentlemen who I grew up with looked at me and said, what happened? How did this happen? God changed a heart. That's how that happened. Can God do the impossible? Yes. Can God stop the river? Yes. Can God move us into the promised land? Yes. All of that stuff. God can do the impossible. The other thing that I firmly believe is that God is involved working in our world on our behalf. God is involved working in our world on our behalf. Romans 8:28, one of the most probably misquoted verses in all of Scripture sometimes. Romans 8:28 says, for God can make all things work together for good. And a lot of people stop quoting the verse right there. And the next part of the verse says, for those who love God and for those who are called according to God's purposes. Those who love God and those who are called according to God's purposes, God can work together all things for good. No matter what it is, no matter what has happened. I'm very ashamed of some parts of my life. What I did, where I was, and what happened. And I would not want to confess them in front of you. But God used all those things to make me who I am. And all those things, in one way or another, at one time or another, have been useful in my ministry. God brought all those things together for good, even though some of them were bad, because I love God and because I'm working towards living God's purposes in this world. The third thing that I want to mention, we will only experience the promised land after our feet get wet. We will only experience the promised land after our feet get wet. There have been many times that I have walked down the path that I thought God wanted me to walk on, not knowing what was ahead, not knowing what was going to come. I think about Abraham sometimes. He's way over here, 1,000 miles from where he ends up. And God says, Abraham, pack up your family and everything that you have and keep walking until I tell you to stop. Some of you would say, well, he's only asking me to move down the street. Right? Abraham moved over 1,000 miles before God told him to stop. But Abraham had to take that first step to hear what God had to say. Abraham had to take all of those steps before God could hear. We're only going to walk into the promised land when we get our feet wet. I don't know how many of you don't want to get your feet wet. I grew up at the beach on the Bayside, and I loved it. I can still remember my brother painted a picture, and he's given us a copy of it. He painted a picture of the very beach that we grew up at. And I can sit and look at that and remember so, so many things. And his comment on his Facebook page after he made this was, those in my family would know what this means. They would understand the beautiful picture that there is, and then they could very clearly hear, go and have fun, but don't get your feet wet. That's what my grandma would say just about every time she let us go. And when we came back to the house, guess what? Oh, come on, you can figure that one out, can't you? It wasn't just our feet. We would come back to her house soaked. And she would give it to us and say, "Didn't I tell you, don't get your feet wet?" Folks, we're only going to experience the promised land if we get our feet wet. You got to step in the river first before the river stops. And you got to cross over. And you got to move. You can't stay where you are and go with Jesus. Jesus is about moving on. He doesn't say, "Come and stay with me," does he? Jesus says, "Come and do what? Follow me." Folks, if you want to be in the promised land, you got to get your feet wet and you got to keep walking. So I'll leave you with this question. Will we step to see God's impossible work done on our behalf? Will we step to see God's impossible work done on our behalf? Let's pray. Lord, what powerful images in these stories in the Bible. What powerful and wonderful images there are. And Lord, how difficult it is sometimes for us to truly, deeply grab a hold of these things and make them part of our lives. Because Lord, we want all the blessings of heaven without moving from our comfortable spot. We want all the blessings of heaven without taking one risk. But Lord, as we see in this story, the priest had to take a risk. The people had to take a risk. And Lord, you're asking us to take a risk too. Please guide us, direct us, help us, that we might truly be your people walking into the promised land. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.